greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now, by the way, understand they're scattered abroad because of great, great persecution. Unbelievable persecution. And again, let's remember as we study the book of Acts that the scattering of the people, the scattering of Christians, the scattering of the Jews, the scattering, anytime there's a scattering in the Bible, and especially in the early church, it took the gospel into different places. I mean, it's a bad thing, but God used it for good. And so, again, these are people going through very difficult times. And so he says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. You know, different kinds of temptation, different kinds of trials, different kinds of problems. He says, count it all joy. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Perfect there isn't talking about sinlessly perfect. It's talking about mature, growing, and where you're supposed to be in the Lord. And that's what we should be doing. We should be growing to be wherever it is we're supposed to be in our spiritual growth in our life. And he said, let patience have her perfect work, again, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Again, liberally there doesn't mean like the bad kind of liberal. It means he gives it out as much as you need. You can ask for wisdom. Every day you should ask for wisdom. Every day before you start doing whatever it is you do, you should ask God for wisdom. When you get on the phone to make an important call, you ought to ask God for wisdom. When you go meet that person that you have to meet, when you go to the bank, when you go to talk, you should always just be able to ask God for wisdom because he gives it out liberally. It's not like, well, I've already got my portion for this week. It's not like that. God has, he just keeps giving wisdom out. And we should do that. And it says, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. And here's the title of the message tonight, Nothing Wavering. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now, hey, but we just went from being able to ask for wisdom, and we can get it as much as we want, as much as we need, and we've gone from that to not receiving anything. And it says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so that is that double-minded man we would have to believe is someone who has a lot of wavering going on. And so I want to talk to you about those two words, nothing wavering. Father, please help us tonight to understand not only this passage of Scripture, but all the verses that we look at tonight. And help us to realize what you're saying here, that you don't want us to waver at all. You said that we could come boldly to your throne. And God, I know that means with confidence, not in me, but in you, in the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't have to be ashamed. We can come, we can get forgiveness, and then we can ask. And so I pray that we would have nothing wavering in our lives. That God, we would listen tonight, and that you would touch each of us in the area that maybe we waver in. And help us not to waver, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Again, verse 5, wisdom, something that should be, taken advantage of by every person in this room, all of us, because it's available to us. You don't have to go to Bible college to get wisdom. In fact, you can't get wisdom in Bible college. Yeah, I mean, you can get it from God at Bible college, but it's not, well, I'm going to go to Bible college so I can get wisdom. That isn't going to happen. It isn't going to happen. You can get wisdom now. You may not have graduated from high school. You can get wisdom. You may not have gone to college, and you can have wisdom. Some of the wisest people in this room don't have education past high school, and yet they have wisdom. Some of the wisest people in this room, by far, are people that not been bosses at work. They've not been engineers. They've not done all. They've just learned to ask God for wisdom. We have wise women in this room. We have wise men in this room. Wait a minute. We have some wise teenagers in this room. We have some wise young people. Because you say, oh, no, preacher. I mean, no, there are some young people that are wiser than older people today because they learned to ask God for wisdom. And in the area that they live in, the area that they work in their lives and what all they do, they've asked God for wisdom to help them get through whatever it is, elementary school, junior high school, job, whatever it is. They've asked God for wisdom. And God will give them wisdom. And the thing is, it is true of pretty much everything in the Christian life. It's not just asking for wisdom. It's asking God for anything. It's pretty much true. God wants to give, sad to say, more than we want to receive. Amen. God wants to give to us more than we want to get. We want the new car. Oh, we want the house. Oh, we want the big bank account. But all these things that God has for us, it's sad to say, God is just waiting for you to ask. And he'd love to give it, just like wisdom. And so the key, I think, to all of this comes to verse 6, and that is those two words, nothing wavering. Because when we waver, and every one of us can get this in our minds, we're like a wave of the sea. You know, the wind blows and the waves get big and it's just tossed. Whichever way the wind happens to be blowing, the waves just toss whatever it is in there. And that is the way so many of us are. And verse 7 says, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So here's somebody who's like, he's like a wave of the sea. He's driven with the wind and he's tossed here and there, whatever way the wind blows. And God says, you're not going to get it. Why? Because he says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If I can't just stop and say, God, here's what I need. God says, you're just blowing around like a leaf in the wind. You're blowing around like a wave in the sea. You're just not going to receive anything. What is he talking about then? It says, let him ask in faith. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. What's that mean? It means convinced, assured, believing God. It's a prayer that is not, well, God, you know, I kind of think this would be a good idea, and if perhaps you think that I'm worthy of this, or no, it's come boldly to the throne. Boldly, not cocky, not boastingly, boldly with confidence. Knowing that you can, knowing that he wants you to, knowing that he's able to take care of whatever it is that we ask for. Amen. That is convinced. Hey. You know, I'm convinced that most of us, much of the time, we're not convinced. I really believe that, and I'll show you why in the message. The Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If we could just imagine that, if we could just grasp the fact that, okay, God says, whatever I do that I don't really believe in, it's a sin. If I really could understand that, it would change my prayer life. Because what I would do is I would come to God believing God. And I would ask for things that are huge. I would ask for things that are little. I would ask for everything. I'd talk to God about everything. And I wouldn't waver. I wouldn't be ashamed of it, you know? Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. God wants us to believe him. God wants us to trust him. Nothing wavering. And I've written down five different things, different ways that we waver. And I want to give those to you today. And I think you'll see what I'm getting at tonight as far as what I see with myself sometimes and what maybe God would challenge you with. Number one is a wavering walk. A wavering walk. Notice Matthew 9. And verse 27. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 27. And often this happens. When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. Now, what's that mean? Well, that means we're going to find out now what their faith is. Jesus made the statement. Jesus said, whatever your faith is, it's going to happen. What's it say in verse 30? Their eyes were what? How was their faith? It was obviously strong, wasn't it? Here's what they believed. They believed they would open their eyes and they'd see. That's what they believed. Because Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And you know, it's amazing because we read that and we see that, we just don't always believe it. I mean, Jesus, is he kind of opening the door for a lot of things in our life? How many times do you suppose he has said to us, according to your faith, be it unto you, and it fizzled? And we said, God, what are you doing? And it wasn't God. What was it? It was according to my faith. How many times have we gone to God and we've said, oh, God, I want you to, please, would you do this? And I'm not, again, we'll talk about the will of God and all of that in this, but how many times do you suppose that has happened in our lives? I mean, honestly, I read this and in my mind I thought, and if the Bible would have said, and they remained blind, well, I would have known why. Then they remained blind and they were mad at God for the rest of their lives. And I'd have thought, what are you mad at God for? It wasn't his fault. He gave you an open door. He said, according to thy faith, be it unto you. I mean, what do you want? And then I stop and I think, yeah, how many times that happened to me? Where he just gave me a blank check and said, here. Now, whatever you fill in, that's what you get. And again, I'm not talking about praying for money. I'm just saying he just gave me an open door and said, okay. And then it didn't happen the way I thought it should, and I got mad at God. What's that? It's a wavering walk. It's a wavering walk. It seems to me as I read this, God is as big in our lives as we make him to be. And a person says, you know, God, not much is happening, and then we get mad at God, and instead of getting mad at God, how about if we look in a mirror? Amen. He is going to do according to our faith. And walking with him, what's that do? It builds our faith. And this is why I call this a wavering walk. I've talked about it a lot here lately. You know, walking with him builds our faith. Praying, talking to him, reading the word of God, listening to him daily, all day, walking with God and having a relationship with him. What's that going to do? That's going to build my faith. It is going to convince me the longer I'm with God, the more I walk with God, the more time spent with God. Hey, listen to me. Watching television, okay, you may want a little entertainment. You may want to watch the ball game. You may want to do those things. But listen, if we don't walk with our God, we're missing out on the things that God has for us that's according to my faith. Amen. It's wonderful to walk with other Christians. It's great. Iron sharpeneth iron, and we need that. But it is not a replacement for that time with God. And that time where we can walk with him and by walking and talking and listening to him, my faith grows where I can ask him for anything. And I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed. I am coming boldly to his throne. Good way to illustrate it. A couple, they start to like each other. And then they start to date. But while they're dating, they date others. And they're in that dating world, you know, at the age of 30 or whatever. And there's now they're dating, but they're dating others. And so Barney, he dates Bertha. And then he, after he's dated Bertha, well, he kind of had a good time, but now he has decided to date. Every time a name pops, there's somebody here with that name. And so Bertha, he had a date with her and had a good time, but he's not sure yet. So now he's found Beulah. Pretty good, huh? I just wish it would have come quicker and your name wouldn't have been there. But Beulah, then he's going to go to McDonald's with Beulah, and he went to Wendy's with Bertha, thank you. And so they're dating. That's okay. He's trying to figure out, God's will for his life. He's trying to figure out if he's going to have a life of McDonald's or Wendy's, right? And so they have, that's how it goes. And maybe somewhere in there, there's Belinda. And that's kind of how it goes. Now, what's he doing? He's wavering back and forth. One day he says, boy, I really liked Arby's with Belinda, but when I was with Beulah, McDonald's was working out pretty well. And, well, over here with Bertha, Wendy's was great because I got the little nugget things, and their chili is definitely really good. And we're not going to add any more, folks, honestly, because I can't handle it. There was a day I could have handled probably five, but that's no way. And now, what's he doing? He's wavering. Come on, we've all been there. Maybe we don't remember it, but we've not only been there, we've had children that have been there, and some of you have some that are there now. Oh, I'll die without her. And then the next day, I don't care about her. What? We're wavering. Okay, he's just wavering, that's all. He's wavering back and forth until, what's he do? He says, back in our day, he said, will you go steady with me? Right? What's that mean? That means he is pretty convinced about which one. You think Beulah? All right. Bertha? Belinda? Arby's. Yeah, it's a lot better. Definitely. Yeah, Arby's is better. Okay. So we chose Belinda with the Arby's. Okay. By the way, some men choose because she's a good cook. Fellas, I'm telling you. Well, anyway, we won't get into that. But all I'm saying is the cooking is important. It really is. But now he's, okay, so he's not wavering now. Now he's going steady, but then he gets engaged, right? And what is one thing that happens when you go steady or you're engaged? You're no longer dating anybody else. Okay, so he likes Belinda now and Arby's and Beulah. No. In fact, Belinda gets upset if he even looks at Beulah now, right? Yeah. Yeah, in fact, if he even sets foot in Wendy's, he's in trouble. Amen. I mean, no more. It's Arby's for the rest of your life. But it's a silly illustration, but we can understand because for a long time there he's wavering, but now, and what's he do? One day, emphatically, he stands before people and God Almighty, and he says, I do. What's he? He's done. He said, I've made my decision. She's the one. Belinda and curly fries from Arby's. Amen. And it's emphatic, and that's how it is. I do. Now, look, here's the thing. The more I walk with God, okay, I'm walking with God. And this is the average Christian. Here we are, we're walking with God, and then the world pulls on us. What are we going to do? We're wavering. Yeah, but I want you, God. And we come back to God, and we spend time with God, and then the world pulls on us again. It might be money. It might be worldliness. It might be some old sin. It might be some, bad thought. Who knows what it may be, but we get to wavering. And so we have got to be determined. God, I want to stay with you. I want to walk with you all day. I don't want to stray. And by the way, that is all in the Bible. The Bible talks about spiritual adultery, spiritual fornication, being unfaithful to our God. And if we do that, we're wavering. And what's that do? That affects our faith. You know what? The people that do not ask of God are people that are wavering in their walk with God. They're just back and forth, and you know what actually happens? We're kind of ashamed. Boy, you know what I did? I know what I've been thinking about. I can't talk to God. I can't ask God. And then you know what? You don't. Because according to your faith, be it unto you. and you don't ask, and your faith is no good anymore. But if we walk with him and we're faithful to him, we will believe him, we will trust him. You know, it is so important. It's so important. Look back in Matthew 9, and I forgot to show you this. Matthew 9 and verse 27. Notice what Jesus asked these two men. Matthew 9 and verse 28. Verse 28. And, so clearly, we can see the relationship here. Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. They're walking. They trusted him and believe him. Look, the more we walk with him, the less we walk with the world. Now get that. If he's there, you know, you're not going to be as tempted to do things. We get in trouble when we don't think he's there. Amen. I guarantee you're not going to talk about things you talk about when you know he's there. Yeah, I don't. When I know when I am very aware, I've been walking with him all day long, and all of a sudden the devil throws some dart at me, you know. I mean, it's something. By the way, the devil doesn't tempt you with things you don't like. You understand? Cough medicine's not a temptation to me. Castor oil's not a temptation to me. Chocolate cake. Yeah. Chips Ahoy cookies? Oh, yeah. Brussels sprouts? Oh, no. Oh, my. Chocolate pie? Peanut butter pie? Trouble city. Broccoli? Not a chance. Not with me. And when he's with me, you have to understand that there are temptations, that the dart gets thrown, and honestly, it's like, boy, if I was alone right now. Come on, you've done that when you've been with somebody here. You thought, if I was alone, this would sure be, if I was alone, I'd take a sledgehammer to that. Well, we won't say. But, hey, do you believe I can do this, Jesus says? Oh, yes, Lord, I believe, because I've been with you all day long and you've been a blessing all day. Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe you can. And the more I walk with him, James 4:4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I'm sorry, that's James 1:4. James 4:4. It says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And the more we're with him, the more the world's yucky. That's a good word, isn't it? Yucky. It's not very theological, but it's pretty good in the Greek. That's yukos. Amen. How many of you know Greek? Yucko, yuckase, yucke, yuckamen, yuckate, yuckate. Remember that? No? Then I got away with it, because I have no idea what I just did. Wavering walk, it'll ruin us every time. There's so much we're missing out on because we're not walking faithfully with our God. Number two is wavering words. Wavering words. James chapter 4, verse 2. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Wavering words. Ye have not because ye ask not. And again, when we doubt, we just don't ask. Best time to ask, you know, is when we believe, when we trust God, when we know. But we usually don't ask until we're just sure. Come on, you've watched your kids. They're terrified. You know, they want to ask for, a $5,000 bicycle or whatever. You know? Boy, they ought to be terrified, right? Or just accept the fact that it's not possible. But I mean, you've watched them. When there's something they know is shaky, you know, and they're coming up, Dad? And just how you look. You know, you may say, what? Nothing. And they walk away. Right? I mean, it all depends. It just, however you respond, you know. And I mean, it happened. We've all been there. We've all done that. And again, you know, this whole idea that when we really believe we can come to God, it's the best time to ask. But we got to be sure. And so what happens? We just don't ask, and we have wavering words. We just don't ask. You know, most would eliminate a lot of heartache if they would just ask God. Try this. Should I do this? Again, there's got to be a confidence with God. Should I do this, God? Come on. How many of do we really ask God, should I buy this? Oh, my, how many times could we have saved ourselves trouble and payments if we had just said, God, should I buy this? He says, you have not because you ask not. What about that, God, should I buy this, but God has a better this? Just go to the next store. Go to the next place. Ask. We would save ourselves a lot of problems if we said, should I go there? Should I say this? Oh, would we save ourselves trouble? Should I do this? We would eliminate a lot of needs if we would ask. You hear me say this all the time. And there are several people that do this faithfully. I know the Whites do this faithfully. Before they go in the store, Lord, here's our list. Don't you? Here's the list. It'd sure be great to save money on these things. And there it is. These eggs are on sale. Praise God. Here's our orange. This is our orange juice. It's our orange juice on sale. It's never on sale. It's on sale. You have not, because you ask not. You'd save yourself. You'd eliminate a lot of needs. How about this? Asking God for something not to break. Amen. How about asking God for a raise? Tim, forget it. No, you can ask God. What am I saying? Don't forget it. Ah! That was one of those bald moments we were talking about in choir. Yes. We would eliminate a lot of need. How about God give me good health? I know we're taking every kind of vitamin, every kind of pill, every kind of herb. We're putting stuff on our ears, our eyes, our nose, our tongue, our lips, under our chin. We're doing everything we can. We're trying to eliminate brown spots, green spots, red spots, orange spots, every kind of spot. We got wrinkle creams. We've got massage things. We've got warm heat pads. We got all kinds of things like that. But ultimately, God, just give me good health. When's the last time you prayed and said, God, if there's cancer in me, get rid of it? Because there may be. In fact, the chances are very good in a crowd. Somebody has cancer. You got it there. It's all there. You have something laying dormant. God, get it out. Just get rid of it. By the way, when's the last time you thank God that you don't have anything? I mean, it's just that talking to God, but we have wavering words. And instead of doing that, we could eliminate so many needs. We could eliminate so many problems. Like, God, someone's being a real pain. Instead of asking God to kill him, how about asking God to work on him? Not work him over. Work on him. Why? You know, I don't like this about our church. Well, pray and ask God. It's his church. Ask him to take care of it. There's so many people, you know, the pastor of this. Okay, well, ask God to deal with the pastor. He's my boss. I am totally accountable to him. And we'll talk to 500 people, but we won't go to God and just say, God, deal with this guy. Beinecke. I'm glad you're up here in the front, Brother Beinecke. Kenny, keep an eye on him, all right? No, amen. I mean, amen. That's true. Ask God. You know, before you just get so down on your children, do you pray for your children? I mean, do you really pray for your children? And children, before you really get down on your parents, do you pray for your parents? My parents are just, they're just so unreasonable. Okay, talk to God about that. Tell God your parents are being unreasonable. Wavering words. Your boss? Amen. Your boss at work? Oh, that guy. Patty, was that you that amened that? Your boss, seriously, you say, yeah, but he's unsafe. Does God control everything or not? Where's the heart of the king? It's in God's hand. Amen. Well, would that be true with your boss? Amen. Again, if we're walking with God, if our walk with God is more than just, now I lay me down to sleep. If it's more than just, good food, good meat, good Lord, let's eat. You know, if it's more than that, if we really talk to God and spend time with God, these are things that we could tell our God about our nasty boss and about that family member that's just totally out of line and about that lost person next door and about that backslider that we know. And we can just really open up to God, and we can pour our heart out to God, and we can ask instead of, why isn't God doing something about this? And God is saying, you have not because you ask not. Wavering words. Number three is wavering ways. And James 1:8 says it best, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Again, a double-minded man. Well, let's go. Okay, I'm going to go this way. Well, but no, I'm going to go this way. No, I'm going to go this way. Well, I think I'll go this way. And where is he? He's where he was. He never went anyway. Why? Because he's double-minded. And we have wavering ways. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That way that seemeth right to me, it always pulls on me. And it pulls on you too. It's that way that seemeth right, but it leads to death. It's that way. It just seemeth right, and it just kind of pulls on me. And well, it just seemeth right for a long time in my life. I know that's bad English, but it's good preaching. It just seemeth right for so many years, and I got used to it. And it just, yeah, I know. And that's why so many are tossed. And that's why we waver in our ways. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 13. Ephesians 4, 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Again, that doesn't mean sinless. It just means mature, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And when we're there, when we're mature, when where we're supposed to be, when we're the grade we're supposed to be in our Christianity, when we've arrived at where we're supposed to be, it says here that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. He said we're going to be rooted, we're going to be grounded, we're going to be mature where we're supposed to be so we don't move. That's what God wants from us. But we have these wavering ways, and it makes it hard for us to be what God wants us to be so we can do what God wants us to do. And so what it doesn't take a whole lot to trick us. The Bible says here that carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. Sleight is deceit and trickery. You know, you listen to enough trickery out there, and all of a sudden, the King James Bible's not important anymore. It's not important like it used to be. But there's so much sleight of men out there. There's so much unique doctrine out there and false doctrine out there and every wind of doctrine out there. If we listen to it enough, one of these days, the altar call is not going to matter. It's going to seem silly. Preaching is not going to matter. Holiness is not going to matter. Soul winning is not going to matter. Separation is not going to matter. The local church is not going to matter. Our stand for Christ, it's not going to matter. Because what has happened is we've been blown here and there, and we have these wavering ways. Folks, you need to get settled, grounded, and become grown, mature, where you're supposed to be. There's folks been saved 25, 30 years that are still. Honestly, I don't know of anything more frustrating as a pastor and involved in the ministry all these years is seeing people that should have grown that never did. And they get blown around. And it is so sad. And things that outwardly, okay, I take this stand, but they never did inwardly. They just never grew to the maturity, to the perfect, the maturity level they were supposed to be in the Lord, and they had wavering ways. The sleight of men, the deceit and the trickery will get them off of the things that are really right. Cunning craftiness, the Bible talks about. It talks about the cunning craftiness there in the book of Ephesians. And, cunning craftiness, the Bible says about the serpent, he was more subtle. That's the same idea of he's cunning. Satan is cunning. Brother Stewart, he's gotten into it with a couple of city people in reference to the discrimination thing and then this beautiful statue. Actually, he has asked to have it put in his yard. My yard. That's the church's. We can't. Separation of church and state. We can't. So it'll have to go in yours. But you know, all that stuff and some of the things, don't you know, this is their agenda. And they, you really think so? You really believe that? It's their agenda. They're trying to corrupt us. It's an agenda. It's out of hell agenda to get us wavering. It's just one thing. Yeah, well, it's not a big deal. And there were a whole bunch of not a big deals. And all those whole bunch of not a big deals got somebody elected who had an agenda. And all those little things, well, we'll overlook that, and we'll overlook the five blue dudes. Cunning craftiness. But it happens religiously too, and it happens with your favorite shows. It does. Because Satan, all he has to do is just you can have truth. He'll just toss in a little bit of error. I'll never forget the first time somebody made me chocolate chip cookies and they used X-Lax. How many of you ever had that done to you? Anybody? Nobody? You have, Steve? Yeah. I doubt that. Really? Well, don't do it. I don't want to give you ideas. It's a terrible thing. They say, oh, well, we only did just a little bit. Dave, don't laugh that hard. All it takes is a little bit, folks. Just takes a little bit of error to mess up the truth, and our ways become wavering ways. And we get in trouble. The serpent was more subtle. He's cunning. And he gets us leaning the wrong way. And he lies in wait, ready to pounce on us. And the world is lying in wait, ready to pounce. We know the pouncing is coming. Do we not know that? Do we not know that the pounce is going to come in the tribulation? Don't we know that there's going to be a mark that's going to be put on people, and you will not buy or sell without that mark, that allegiance to the Antichrist? Oh, you say, we'll be in heaven then. But will your neighbor? Will your loved one? Will your coworker? And I'm not ready to just let it go. But I don't want to, I don't want to lean the wrong way. I want to stay true to my God for the rest of my life. And every wind of doctrine blows us around like paper in a tornado. And I watch Christians, I am absolutely, absolutely saddened and broken heart by people that have thrown out stuff they believe for years and years and years because they had wavering ways. And it didn't have to happen. And over these years, it's happened over and over. Here's what Paul said, Acts 20, verse 24. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And how did he start that statement? None of these things move me. I honestly, it scares me to think that Christianity in our time, in our day, if there was a persecution, I really wonder how many would stand. I'm serious as I can be. I wonder how many would stand, or because they've had a life of wavering, they'd waver. Well, I got a shotgun. That's not what I mean by taking a stand. I'm talking about if you don't have a shotgun and you're just standing. I'm talking about standing behind this pulpit and soldiers come in that back door and say, you will quit preaching or we're going to blow your brains out. Or you'll say, I deny Christ, or we're going to blow your brains out. And I'm going to just keep right on preaching, and there's going to be brain on that curtain back there, and then you better get up, and you better keep preaching. Amen. And then you better get up, and you better get up, and others better get up. And you say, well, I would just, you know, start coughing and go out like I have a bad cold. I understand. Wavering ways. Number four is a wavering will. 1 John 5:14. He said nothing wavering. He wants us to be solid. 1 John 5 and verse 14. And this is the confidence. Again, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. According to his will. According to his will. See, that's where, you know, somebody says, well, according to thy faith, be it unto thee. Well, yeah, but you need to ask according to his will. And that's what's going to bring you confidence. I'm asking, I know this is the will of God. Oh, God, help me to rob this bank. See, you know that's not the will of God. You know that's not what God wants. You know that's against his word. But, oh, God, help me to talk to my neighbor about you. That's his will. And God will open a door. Just be ready to walk through the door because he'll open the door. According to his will. There's so much in the Bible to know that has to do with his will. What's that mean? His desire. What does he want for me? What does he want for me to do? So many of our prayers are spent trying to talk him into our will instead of yielding to his will. Come on, we've all done it. We just want to talk him into, you know, at the bookstore there's a new book out, 101 Ways to Talk God Into It. You know, I just made that up. It sounds like a good book to write. You'd make millions. You know? It's not about talking him into it. It's a matter of talking you and me into yielding to what he wants. That's what it's all about. Real quick, Luke 22, verse 42. Luke 22, 42. Just about done. Luke 22 and 42. Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, Key word right there. Not my will, but thine be done. Nevertheless, there's right there, okay? That's where the will is no longer wavering. That's where, hey, I'm settled. Nevertheless, whatever's your will, not my will, but thine be done. That's, of course, Jesus praying. Our will must be yielded with a nevertheless. Lord, here's what I'd like to see. God, I would love for you to do this. Nevertheless, whatever you do, let it be done. And I know this is right, and I know this is right, and I know this is right. And I yield to you. Nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. When we say we yield, but we really don't, we pull back, nothing wavering. Not, God, I trust your will. Have you taken that medical condition and just said, God, I trust your will. I believe that this is your will, and I'd sure like you to do something about it. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Our will. We get on the altar, and it's settled, and we get up, and it's unsettled. Let's get on the altar and get it settled. And it's settled. I get one of the other frustrations of being a pastor in a ministry is a young person going to a camp or a conference and making a decision, and it's settled. And they're on the bus, Brother Varnum, and you know what I'm talking about. They're on the bus, and they're testifying. It's the most joy you've seen in that person's life in years. And they're thrilled. And they come home, and mom says, you were just emotional. And all of a sudden, instead of a settled will, it's a wavering will. How sad. Number five, the last thing is wavering works. And we all struggle with this. James 5, go back to James. James chapter 5 and verse 16. It says, the second part of this verse, it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I've been talking about it a lot because it's such a big thing today that it doesn't really matter what you do. Hog slop. That is out of hell. It is wrong. It is wicked. It is flesh. It is carnal. God is interested completely in what we do. He is interested in our righteousness. He wants us to do right. He wants me to do right. If I don't think God wants me to do right, then I go right out there and I do wrong. Because that's what my flesh wants to do. But I'm convinced he wants me to do right. And so it's a battle. I'm going to fight the battle. I'm not going to give in. And I hope you don't give in either. Because here's what's affected, because we have wavering works if we lose this battle. Because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, that's a guy doing right. Do right, keep doing right. If you do wrong, do right by getting right. Isn't that good? I wrote that myself. You can put a quote by me. If you do wrong, do right by getting right. Why? So your prayers can be heard. Amen? Well, just do what feels good. That's wavering works. Because what feels good one day, and it may be right one day, but it ain't right the next day. What feels good. It may feel good to do right. It may feel good to do wrong. So I don't determine what I do by what feels. I determine what I do by what the Word of God says. Amen. Amen. Do what He says is right. Nothing wavering. I close with 1 John 3, verse 22. 1 John 3 and verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight, nothing wavering. I just don't know what to do to please God. Sure you do. Forget what pleases you and just please God. And if what pleases you pleases God, then you're okay. And you'll find as a Christian that you can do a lot of things and please God, and it is going to tickle your gizzard. You are going to love it. Come on, I watch our shepherds' workers, and that doesn't always feel good. I guarantee, I promise you this, some of those ladies, some of those men, and they're taking folks to the bathroom, they're just not always having fun. Amen. It's just not always, this just feels so, woohoo! No, I didn't like that. No, but you know what? It is pleasing, isn't it, when you do it? It is pleasing when the shepherd's ministry has a party and all the folks come, and boy, that's a good thing. You know, bus workers, it's just not always just fun and games. Every now and then a kid acts up. No. Now, I don't know if the Baileys have ever had a bad bus kid on their bus, but every now and then, you know, it just doesn't feel so good. But you know what? At the end of the day, at the end of Vacation Bible School, after, you know, you say, I'm sure glad I did that. Mother-daughter banquet. All these years, my wife's done mother-daughter banquets. And it's just a whole different world at our house. You know, my dining room table, she says to me, honey, don't leave things on the table all year long. Don't leave. I like to come home and I'll put my keys on the table. Sometimes I'll put my wallet, and I would think that would, you know, she'd feel good about that, except it's always empty. But I put that, and honey, put them in here in the kitchen, not on the dining. Somebody may come and you know, they look in and don't leave things on the table. I ought to take a picture and send it to you of our table tonight. Honey, you're blushing. Everything changes. But I promise you this. I guarantee this. And there's other ladies that are helping out, doing a bunch. And there's folks in this room. In fact, most of you do a lot. You really do a lot. And I cannot thank you enough for all that you do. But I know this for a fact. This time next week, in about, I can't see the clock, whatever time it is, the end of the day, Sunday night next week, she's going to come home. She's going to go, She's going to walk in the house and take off her shoes. And she's going to say, boy, that was so good. I am blushing. If you knew what I was thinking right now, you'd blush too. Jenny Varnum's blushing. And she says, I am so glad that's over. But I'm so glad we did it. Doing right, folks, just doing those things that are pleasing to God. What you know he's pleased. Come on, you know he's pleased. That is a work that is righteous. And then you go to God and you say, God, I'd like to ask you for this. I'd like you to do this. I wish you would do this. Please do this, God. Let's pay attention to what James says. James was a man of prayer. And he said, nothing wavering. No wavering walk, no wavering words, no wavering ways, no wavering will, and no wavering works. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.